Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. It's New Year's Eve, and tonight's all about the bass house. I've got an excellent interview on tap for you this evening with Vancouver's Average Citizens, and we will get to that shortly. But first, let's check out this episode's track of the week. This is some uplifting house, the latest from Hot Since 82, a great vocal here. It's titled Never Enough, and is out now on his label Knee Deep in Sound. Okay, a great track of the week there, Hot Since 82, Paige Cavell and Us Too with Never Enough, and that is out now on Knee Deep in Sound. It can be had wherever you buy your tracks. On to the feature for tonight's episode, local products Average Citizens have had a year, and they're definitely making a name for themselves in the bass house scene, and I was fortunate to be able to interview them a few weeks back to discuss how it all began, their production process, and future goals. The lead track here is titled Good Gal with Fort Knox 5 on the remix. Full track list can be found on Tech and Progressivo's Facebook page. Check that out, as there are some upfront tracks here that you'll definitely want to know. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Danny and Josh. Together, they are Average Citizens. Vancouver-based, they've been producing and DJing for the past decade. With releases on In Stereo, Yosh, Fort Knox Recordings, and Ghetto Ghetto, just to name a few, they have definitely made a mark on the bass house scene. Their latest track, I'm a Work, dropped back in June on 3000 Bass and is available wherever you buy your tracks. It's my pleasure to be speaking to them. This is Average Citizens. citizens. So kicking things off here, how would you currently define your sound, and would you say it's evolved or shifted over time?
Wow, well, thanks for having us, first of all. How would we describe our sound? I think in the most basic sense, we say bass house, but wobble house, I think, is a term that we throw around a lot because we love floor to the floor house music beats, but we also are deeply inspired by UK garage, speed garage, and that sort of grimy UK house sound. So we really mingle that in with our music. What would you say, babe?
Yeah, I would add all that. And I would also definitely say we bring high energy, like party house vibes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Bad man sing. She's a go-gat queen. He's a bad man sing.
Mention inspiration there. Can you think of two or three tracks or possibly events or DJs or anything like that that really inspired you at the start of all of this? And what impact did they have on you?
I think like from the beginning, we were like really inspired. I mean, we've always been inspired by AC Slater, Night Bass. That's not really UK. But if we want to go to the UK, probably Ill Phil. Oh yeah, local either. Ill Phil was a big...
Yeah, in the very beginning, yeah.
He was a big influence for us.
Jambala for events.
Yeah. I don't know, you got me into speed garage. Yeah. Where did that start for you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it started with drum and bass, like way back in the day, and just the old speed garage in the 90s, and kind of went into drum and bass and breaks, and then somehow I kind of, you know, around 2010, fell back into that wobble sound and vibe that I had loved so much in those past genres. And then it kind of, we just wanted to kind of bring it back, and so yeah, so that's what we did, I guess, and that was how we kind of started, right?
You know, girl, what it be like? You know, girl, what it be like?
Once you came together, can you tell me what the process of building your reputation up both as DJs and producers and the scene was like?
I think that has a lot to do with persistence. We just kept going and kept building, and I think a really big piece of it is community. You know, we're learning more and more as we get deeper into this music scene too, and we're actually reading a book right now that's called Who Not How, and it's a lot about, you know, reaching out and helping other people. You know, being a DJ is something that's like inherently social and, you know, community driven, because a lot of times when we're DJing, we're not just playing our own music, we're playing other people's music as well. So I think understanding the community aspect and understanding that, okay, what kind of value can we bring to the festivals we're playing at or the shows we're doing, or, you know, giving back to the communities that we are a part of. So we throw a music festival where we donate all of the money towards sending underserved kids to youth development programs, which we're also a part of running. So I think that there's no like easy answer to how we got to where we are, but it's a lot of persistence and work over the years. But I think that building the community around us has been instrumental, because, you know, we've got a crew, we've got a foundation, and we really care about our fans. We're always reaching out to them and hanging out with them. There's been like so many times where we actually just become really close friends with people who were fans of our music in the beginning. So I think, yeah, a lot of persistence, a lot of grinding, a lot of hustling, and
everything.
A lot of community.
Yeah.
So bad. It's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Okay, let's take a dive into production here. When you are making tracks, which DAW are you working with and why?
We use Ableton. Why?
Why?
Well, that was
because we were taught.
Okay, and then within Ableton, are you primarily using their stock VSTs or do you like to bring in external ones or possibly your own hardware gear as well?
We use like a lot of the stock stuff. We use a lot of plugins and whatnot as well. Like we use Serum a lot. We use a lot of like Fab Filter stuff, but a lot of stock stuff as well. I think that we pretty much just use, basic stock stuff. And we have like a few plugins that we use. We've got like a little keyboard here that we use, but we like to keep it as basic as we can. Consider the process of producing tracks. When you start doing this, do you have a tune or an idea in your head before you get going? Or are you content both to just sit down at the computer or play around and see what that leads to? I think it's a bit of both. Like, I guess a good example of this is yesterday we were going for a hike in Lynn Valley and we spent the whole hike brainstorming about this song that we want to create. I mean, it always is different every time, but I think when we're producing something original, a lot of times we'll have a concept or an idea or some sort of lyric that we want to get down. So we'll flesh out what the meaning of the song is, and then we'll start to conceptualize, okay, what do we want it to sound like? What's the arrangement going to be like? Then we'll go and find some reference tracks, like two or three reference tracks, and then we'll spend some time setting up the project. So that would be, you know, getting everything arranged. So we'll put like markers in according to how, you know, what we want the arrangement to look like. And this is just, this is not the same every time, but it could change up. And then we might, you know, set up, we have a template that we use so that when we sit down to actually do the creation process, it moves a little bit quicker. But we might start, you know, making a bank of, okay, these are the kicks we potentially might want to use, or these are some of, this is a serum patch, or this is a sample, or anything that we are inspired by, so that when we go down and sit to actually write the song, it's really fluid. We don't get caught up in, you know, looking for a hi-hat for 25 minutes or something, you know. So we try to set ourselves up to get into like a flow state.
And then because you're a duo, who takes up which roles in production? Like, is one of you better at percussion? One of you possibly better at bass lines? Like, how does it all kind of work together as a team?
I wouldn't say better, but it's weird how it comes to us sometimes. Sometimes I might just hear a lyric and have like a whole song idea, and then I'll start it and lay it down, and then Danny will work on it for like 5 hours and finish it or something like that. You know, like it's a kind of different every time, I would say. You know, but Danny probably puts in a little bit more time in general to the dog. She has more time, but it really depends on how the first inspiration happens to which one of us. And then, but that, it could be a small thing with me, and then she does more. She does a little thing, and then I do more. It's just, it's very strange on how tracks will, you know.
It's different every time.
Different every time, yeah. It's that percentage is kind of hard to answer.
Tell that boy to shut up.
that and isn't that and isn't that and isn't isn't that and isn't that and isn't that and isn't that and isn't
don't do it
that and isn't isn't that and isn't that and isn't isn't that and
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
You are listening to The Average Citizen's interview here on Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Wah, and the station is 101.9 CITR. That half of the interview wrapped up with the track This and That. Full track list and a selection of Average Citizen weblinks can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Part 2 kicks off with their update of the Bananarama classic, Cruel Summer. And when you first started out producing, was there some aspect of that that you found particularly challenging?
All of it.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Not out.
And was there someone or something that kind of helped you get over that hump?
Yeah, there's been a lot of teachers that we've had along the way, and we still are always seeking learning. We're always, you know, taking different courses or classes. Like, I went through Cosmic Academy, for example. But I think in terms of like what we would be, what we struggled with the most in the beginning, and maybe even still today, is really like sometimes things sound like too robotic. You know, when you're creating music in a DAW and you're writing things in through Ableton, sometimes it can sound robotic. So really trying to humanize things and make them sound more musical, if you will.
Give it the swing.
Yeah. So I think that would have been one of the things where, you know, you have something in your mind and you try to write it down, and then it's like, and you're like, well, that's not what it sounds like in my mind. And so, you know, yeah, learning how to, like you said, add swing or make something sound a little bit more human. And, you know, that comes along with, I think, a lot of experience and processing, and sometimes less processing too.
And finishing tracks too. I think that's like, it's, so yeah. The idea comes and the excitement, and you get into it, and then that part is, it seems like, has always been there for us. Like, mm-hmm. We're, you know, DJs originally, and so we get that, but the finishing part is bigger challenge. Strange voices are saying,
strange voices are saying,
Okay, let's take a look at your DJing. Another duo question here. Because you're working in tandem, what's the approach that you take, first of all, to mixing your set? And then when you are mixing, what's the setup that you like to work with? Like, how many CDJs, and is there a mixer of choice that you like as well?
Yeah, 4 CDJ 3000s and an A9 mixer, which is just came out, which is awesome for us because they finally have A and B for the headphones, so we don't have to wait for the other person now to cue.
It's a game changer for
us. It's a game changer for us, yeah. So that was awesome. And yeah, we just go back and forth. We just go track. Yeah, I think we used to do 2-2, but it was too, like, that didn't last long. We don't have patience for that. That's why we have 4 decks too.
We're both table hogs. Yeah. Like, my turn.
Are mixing, do you sort of have a sense of where the set is going to go, or are you both just comfortable seeing what's happening on the floor and playing to that?
It depends on the show.
It really does.
Like, when we played Shambhala, like, that set was totally premeditated. We spent so long creating that set and making sure every single mix was perfect. And then you do that, and when you get to showtime, you're super confident and you're able to really interact with the crowd and put so much energy into your show because you know you have so much confidence.
We were checking the weather, like, we knew when the sun was coming down, sad, like, we're planning the vibe for that, like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, like, I would say that we always try to prepare as much as we possibly can so that we know that we're giving the audience the best possible show, but we're never afraid to move from that. And then a lot of times we'll play extended sets. Like, we played a 7-hour set in Vernon a month ago, and I think we had the first hour figured out, and then after that it was just freestyling the whole time. So we're definitely comfortable with both. We would prefer to have, you know, something to sink our teeth into in the beginning. And if it is for like a really big show, we'll definitely have something prepared. Because I think that, you know, now we have a name for ourselves, so people know what to expect. So there's not so much, you know, changing our sound to the crowd. The crowd's hopefully there to see us and our sound and our selections. But of course, if it's not working, we'll be able to pick that up.
Down to experiment.
And yeah, switch gears for sure.
Even genres, we'll go through different genres too.
Okay, let's take a look at your gigging history. It's a little bit of a challenging one, but can you think of a couple that really stood out for you and what made them so special?
I mean, Shambhala was a dream for us. So that was a beautiful experience. I think most DJs, I mean, certainly within, you know, BC or even Canada, that's a dream to play, and it's always been a big goal for us. So getting to grace the stage at Shambhala was huge for us, and something that definitely lives rent-free in our minds forever. Over the past year, I think for me, one of my favorite shows was when we played Halifax. So we played at the Lighthouse in Halifax, or for Lighthouse, rather. And that's really cool to know that, you know, on the other side of Canada, there's pockets of people who like the same music that we do. And it was just a really high energy show from start to finish. And so that was, I think for me, that was one of my favorite shows of the year.
Yeah, Halifax is fun. I think, Wicked Woods is up there too.
Oh yeah, sure. Wicked Woods.
We had a really good crowd. Yeah, it was a peak spot. And just the energy was amazing. Like, such good vibes, yeah. Wicked Woods is always such a good time. Mm-hmm. And we played a new stage this year, which was really cool. Yeah.
The Sheena Bay Music Festival is amazing too. Yeah. In Banfield. Yeah. Pashina Bay is what it's called, where it is. But it's a really beautiful little festival that's right on the ocean. And it's got like a nice eclectic mix of different genres of music and bands. And it's a really beautiful little festival. So that was a definite highlight. And we showed up like we weren't able to book a ferry, and we had like a 2 sailing wait. And then we got there like 45 minutes before our set, and everyone was kind of freaking out. Like, are they showing up? Cause there's no cell reception.
No, we show up
on site either. And the Sponges were meant to play after us, so they were ready to like go before us in case we didn't show up. And then we got there and Creature was playing before us, and has this beautiful, amazing sound, but it's very chill compared to what we play. And so we got there and it's sort of this very, you know, hippie vibe, and everyone's super chill, and we were like, oh my gosh, are they gonna like our music? What's happening here? And then it really went well. It went off. It was just the energy. Everyone's hands were in the air the whole time. It was amazing. So that was a really cool one too. Malcolm Bowl, obviously.
Oh yeah, Malcolm Bowl was great.
We got to play with AC Slater and Bijou and Blossom at Malcolm Bowl as a part of the Foundation series. And so, you know, Malcolm Bowl is an iconic venue in the middle of Stanley Park, and it was a beautiful sunny day. So that was really cool.
I could have taken ecstasy, but I didn't.
Okay, tough question time here. Can you think of one or two tracks that you've made that have really stood out, and what makes them rise above all the others?
I would say like the ones that we have just produced within the past month. We had a really busy year. We played over 40 shows this year already, and so we didn't have too much time in the studio. And so for the past month and for the next couple months as we finish out the year, our main goal is cranking out music right now. And so we're in a really good flow right now. We're making, I think, the best music that we've ever made. So I think those are the productions that we're most proud of. We actually just finished our first drum and bass song, which is pretty banging. So I'm pretty proud of that. In terms of like our past releases though, I don't know. I think...
It is hard. I like how you said this is a hard question. Because that is a hard question. I'm pretty stoked on I'm a Work. I love that one. It's like our number one track right now on Beatport, and people seem to really love it too. So that's a hard question. We've been doing it for 8 years.
Probably
the newest ones are always going to be the answer, I think.
I think, so we have a song called Chit Chat that we've been playing all summer long. And at first we finished it and we're like, okay, this is good. We like this. And we started playing it out and it wasn't really delivering. And so we went back to the studio and rearranged the bass line and made it like 10 times better. And then it really started catching. And then we pitched it and it just kept getting denied by labels. But it was like some big labels were listening to it, but just getting shut down. And now it finally has hopefully found a home on like a really good label that's bucket list for us. So maybe that's the one that we're most proud of, or I might be most proud of so far, because it had a long journey involved in, you know, going back and forth and changing it and adjusting it and, you know, getting shut down so many times, and then to finally land somewhere that I think is the perfect fit for it. So hopefully that will be coming out early next year, but it's still a little bit up in the air, but chit chat.
And then peering into that crystal ball, what is your vision for both of you as you continue to go forward in production and DJing?
We want to play like six shows a month, or six or seven shows a month. We're trying to get over to Australia. We'd love to go tour in Australia. We've got lots of tour plans within Canada already set up. We have a lot of goals in terms of like festivals and gigs and whatnot that we want to play in long term as well. But for the foreseeable future, I think we're just laser focused on
the studio
yeah. And really refining our skills and trying to build up like a deep catalog of productions that we're really, really proud of. And I think that is gonna determine, you know, because you don't get to choose your future, right? You choose your daily habits and your daily habits choose your future. And so we're trying to really, you know, set ourselves up just through the music. Bitch knew better than to let me hear. Let me hear.
knees shaking, dance on my thigh shape. Hands on my knees shaking, dance on my thigh shape. Hands on my knees shaking, dance on my thigh shape.
Bitch knew better than to let me hear.
Hands on my knees shaking, dance on my thigh shape. Hands on my knees shaking, dance on my thigh shape.
Bitch knew better than to let me hear.
And then the final question here for you, is there anything that you'd like to promote right now?
We have a new tune coming out February. Yeah, it's not been announced yet, but everything's signed. It's coming out February 15th, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's called It's Not So Bad with Marzetti.
It's collab with Marzetti.
Mm-hmm. It's coming out on Yash.
On Yash, yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be the next one to look out for.
All right, this has been Average Citizens. A selection of their tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, Spotify, Juno Download, and Bandcamp. As well, a full list of their web links can be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. Thank you both for doing this.
A stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Average Citizens for agreeing to interview and for gifting me advance copies of TikTok and It's Not So Bad. Watch for both of those. It was an absolute pleasure to interview them. Their update of the Jefferson Airplane track White Rabbit rounded out the interview, taking full advantage of that sample. Full track listing and a selection of Average Citizen web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Head on over there to find out more about their music and gigs. If you've enjoyed the show and want to hear it again, visit the Techno Progressivo show page at CITR.ca or Apple Podcasts to give this one another spin or to hear more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by. Keep up to date with Techno Progressivo. Follow our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud. Attic Jams is up next on the station. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's track from the past. Carrying on with the breaky bassy feel from tonight, we're going to hop back 13 years in time to 2010 for one from Gela and MC Spider. This is Twinkle. Happy New Year, have a good night, and I will see you back here in 2024.
Why do you only lean and I'll take it before?